So this morning, we haven't been in the Gospel of John too much over this past year, but last week we heard the feeding of the 5,000. This Sunday, we are going to attend to a story about Jesus healing on the Sabbath. Before we get into the text, I just want to make a comment about the way in which John writes. In a little bit, you'll hear, we'll jump ahead, and it says, "For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him." I want to remind you that when John uses the word Jews, he is actually speaking about quite a specific group of people. Jesus himself was a Jew. His disciples were Jews. Many of the people that he was, probably most of the people that he was in ministry with, were Jews. So it is not that all the Jews, and unfortunately, tragically, over the last centuries, there has been a tremendous amount of harm done because of an interpretation that is that the Jews were ones who killed Jesus. So we can't go all into that, but I just want you, when you're hearing this, and I am going to read the text as it is written, but I want you to hear it in that way, remembering that when we talk about, when we hear that the Jews were out to kill Jesus, that it was a particular group, and that Jesus, again, Jesus himself and his disciples were Jews. I think this will help us hear this story in a more specific way. So you sang about it, that Jesus healed on the Sabbath and the holy leaders said it was a shame. Listen now. After this, there was a festival of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, Jesus said to the man, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." And at once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and he began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who'd been cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man that said to you, 'Take it up and walk?'" Now, the man who'd been healed didn't know who it was, for Jesus had disappeared in the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found the man in the temple and said to him, "See, you've been made well. Do not sin anymore so that nothing worse will happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and also am I working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, therefore making himself equal to God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, thank you for the story, for the truth revealed there about Jesus, about healing, about hope, about you. Open this as a living word in our lives, that we might leave here, that we might leave here looking more like Jesus. Amen. So these couple of weeks, we've been reading from the Gospel of John. John, of the four Gospels, stands alone. The first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels because they are so much alike. They tell stories that are much alike. They give teachings of Jesus that are much alike. But John stands alone. The Gospel gives us a perspective on Jesus that is dazzling and bright and bold. Now, in the Gospel of Mark, almost every time Jesus does something, like a healing or an exorcism, he says to the person, don't tell anybody. It's called in scripture scholarship the messianic secret. He seems to be working, doing his work in ministry in a way that is more private. But not in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, we have all kinds of big statements, big and bold statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And if you have a Bible that has the written in red for the words of Jesus, you'll find in the Gospel of John, it goes on and on, verses and chapters in red. Jesus' long teachings. When we come to this particular story, then, as told by John, we are tempted to put Jesus in long, white, flowing robes. You know, to kind of sweep into this story with angelic wings, perfect lighting, something like background music playing for a TV movie. But let's step back for a moment, and maybe you and I can find ourselves in this story with a Jesus who looks more like a real person. So here's what we're told. We're at the healing pool, right? And I think of the various places that I've known of, even out in Cambridge Springs, right in the day that the waters were to have healing power. And, you know, there's still places you can go. So there's this healing pool. And we're told there's five porticos, which are porches or patios. And we're told in scripture that many, I don't know what that means, but many, maybe 100, I don't know, invalids are there. And they're blind, and they're lame, and they're paralyzed. So if you put yourself, and I started thinking about doing this week, and I was like, let's put ourselves there. And I found myself very resistant to actually being there. Because once you remove it from the glory and the beauty, it smells. And there's sounds of suffering. And people would be crying or moaning. And I'm observing this. And I'm just there, this tears of despair. And we're watching. You know, if we're the outsiders, we're watching. And what? Nothing can be done. What could be done? And enter Jesus. And again, let's take him out of the white robe and the halo. And let's look at him like pretty much what Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us, a real person, Jesus. A first century Middle Eastern Jew, Jesus. Dark skin and dark hair, and most likely short in stature. You know, not the towering figure that we might think of. Powerful, right? With authority, right? But not because he was charismatic like a politician or a movie star. Not because of what Jesus looks like on the outside, but because of who he was on the inside. Son of God. God made flesh, the incarnation. And so it's this Jesus who comes to this place, to this pool. And we don't know why exactly, other than we're told in scripture that Jesus somehow knew that this man had been there a long time. 38 years? He must have been ill or infirmed or paralyzed or whatever since a child. And Jesus just asked that simple question. Do you want to be made well? What kind of question is that, right? Of course he wants to be made well. Why would he be there if he didn't? But the man doesn't actually answer that question, right? He doesn't say yes or no. What he says is this: I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. So there is a sense here that there's healing water that gets stirred up. I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred, and while I'm making my way, someone steps down ahead of me. So you and I are listening in, right? We're listening in. What runs through your head in your heart when you hear this. Honestly, maybe some judgment. Well, it seems to me like you're blaming someone else for all your problems. Well, it seems to me like you could have pulled yourself together at some point over all these 38 years and gotten into the water. It seems to me like you could have just answered yes or no. It seems to me. But it isn't what it seemed to Jesus. It isn't what it seemed to Jesus. Because I'm completely sure that what Jesus saw and felt was this man's desperation, his hopelessness, his despair. So Jesus didn't say one thing about those comments about who was responsible and who didn't do what. Jesus said, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Jesus didn't judge him, didn't have an evaluation of his past. The man, stand up and walk, and that is what he did. First half of our story, right? Those first 9 verses. What do I take away for me on the personal level is that Jesus asks us to be real, right? That's what I said when we came into worship. Just come as you are. When we come to prayer, when we feel like there's something to be said, we don't have to have a big story about our faithfulness. We just say, Jesus said, do you want to be made well? I do kind of, Jesus, but I don't know how, right? Maybe well in body or mind or spirit or relationships. We don't have to have any pat answers, no righteousness on our part. We just have to be honest. This is my story, Jesus. Heal me. We wish that there was, I want to say, for me, this is always one of these problems with preaching these stories or living them myself. I would love it if there was an immediate answer the immediate healing like you just heard. It's like when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. We wish, we pray that that's our story, is that Jesus comes right now and whatever is in our lives that's broken or in need of mending or healing, that boom, right? That's how this story goes. And he picked up his mat and walked. We know it doesn't always happen like that. And maybe even rarely happens like that. But we have known it in our lives and we have seen it in others' lives. The mending of bodies, minds, and spirits. Relationships. Most often, bit by bit, day by day. And sometimes, not in this life, right? Sometimes not in this life. But as Christians, we believe that all healing happens, if not here, in the next. So that's the personal side of that man, that one man in that story, and what it might say to us. But then there is that second half of the story about Jesus' encounter with the religious leaders of the day, the lawmakers, the law keepers, the law enforcers. Can you believe it when you hear this story that this man, 38 years laying by the pool, unable to do anything, he picks up his mat and walks, and you think everyone's like, yay, this is a miracle. But no, there are those who say, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat. Absurd, right? The man now walking. It's illegal for him to do so. So rather than celebrate these good people, and they were good, these are the holy ones, they decide to check the rule book and give a citation first to the healed man for carrying the mat and then to Jesus for healing on the Sabbath. And what I love about Jesus in this story and in many others is that he would not back down. He wouldn't back down. He did not give up his authority in the face of earthly authority. He said, my Father is still working, so I also am working. Isn't that great? That could be for all of us. right? Maybe we could all claim that as sort of our living motto. My Father, my God is still working, and if God is still working, then I am still working. Jesus was never afraid to speak truth to power, even when he knew it would cost him his life. Remember that last, I'm just going to read to you that verse 18. Right after Jesus says that, but Jesus answered them, my Father is still working, and I also am working for this reason. The Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. The Jews were seeking even more to kill him because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, therefore making himself equal to God. Jesus doesn't ask the question again to these religious leaders, but he could have. He could have asked that very same question that he asked to the infirmed man. Do you want to be made well? To the religious leaders, to the good people of his day. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made truly holy? Not self-righteous, but righteous in the way of God? Or do you want to hold on to your rigid laws that oppress others and elevate yourself? Do you want to? Do you want to offer hope and healing to the community here? And that was the community of his day, those people laying there in need of love and healing. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? I always say the scripture is a living word, which means every time we encounter it through the Holy Spirit, something happens in us. God has a word for us this day. And I offer it to you. Maybe you feel today like that paralyzed man or that infirmed man laying at the pool for 38 years, and you need that healing. Maybe you feel like the religious leaders that are like, I'm pretty stuck here, Jesus, on the way things should be. Break open my life and make me whole. So as we move forward with this word this week, just hold on to that, both the question and Jesus' words. My Father is still working, so I also am working. Let us pray. Oh God, we're going to claim your word this morning for ourselves. We're going to claim that you have something to let us know in that word we just heard. That we need healing. That we need to be healers for others. That in so many ways and so many times we need to let go and let you lead us to a better place as a church, as a community. Oh God, move in us this day. Move in us, stir the waters of healing, that we might look again more and more like Jesus. Amen. Amen.